All righty, we're talking about the five love languages. How many of you have been working on that this week? First two were acts of service and words of affirmation. I saw that hand back there, Brian. How many of you manned up this week and grabbed that old vacuum cleaner and rode that thing around the house to the glory of God? Good job, Larry. Amen. How do you communicate love to each other? What is your mate? What is your mate's love language? What are your children's love language? Hey, great way to minister to your kids and vice versa. There are five of them. Words of affirmation, acts of service, gift giving, physical touch, and this morning we're looking at quality time. And I believe that every single one of us have at least one primary one that just speaks. I've learned that probably the one you complain about the most that you don't get is probably your love language. He never buys me anything. He doesn't do anything around the house. She never hugs me. Yeah. You ever say those things? That's usually a good indication that there's an area of deficiency in your life on the basis of somebody knowing how to show love to you. And it's important. I don't know what it is. Well, ask God to show it to you. Ask people around you. Start thinking about that. You know, I've got a son that his is gift giving. And he enjoys giving because that brings about a sense of, now he enjoys getting too, but it doesn't have to be a whole lot. He just enjoys operating out of that love language and ministering to people and doing with that. And so find out what it is. You might have to go back. You can go online, take a test. What was the guy's name that did this? Chapman? Gary Chapman. Yeah, thank y'all. Gary Chapman. He's the one to orchestrate all that. You can go online, take a test, and find out just like that what your love language is. But we're going over those through the month of February. And the next Sunday, I will not be speaking because Ike Murphy will be here. So I hope you'll be here. Exciting time next weekend. And always a blessing. We're expecting 300-plus people. We got deer meat, Tim and them going fishing this week. Yes, we will have some fried chicken, amen. That's just norm for a Baptist gathering, is to have some good old yard bird that blesses people's hearts, amen. I met a Baptist the other day that didn't like fried chicken. I said, brother, you just need to get right with God or you need to find another denomination. Just the way it is. Not roasted chicken or roasted chicken, fried. All right, this morning we're looking at quality time. Now, I used to think that you had to have quantity. Or I didn't think you could, you know, if you didn't have quantity, at least have quality. But I've come to learn after four kids and married for 40 years, how can you have quality if you don't have any quantity? And so that's got to be an important part of this quality time and spending time together. And so we're going to look at this indefinitely. And the neat thing about Jesus is he was always sitting and talking with people. Matthew 9:10 said, "It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Matthew 5:1-2. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying," Matthew 13:36-37, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away, went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto you the parable of the tares in the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Matthew 20:17, "Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart the way, and he said unto them," what's he doing? He's speaking into their lives. He's spending time with them. Matthew 26:20-21, "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." John 6:3, "And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with the disciples." So quality time was important in the ministry of Christ. I dare say that if you and I had the ability and the possibility of just being able to sit down with him one-on-one, that would have been such a blessed time, because you and I would have had his undivided attention. Now, sometimes it's difficult. If you're like me, I like sight. I like being able to see and touch, feel that. And sometimes it's easy for me to get off in my prayer life because Jesus is not sitting there right in front of me, although I know he is. Because the scripture says that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we got to understand, friends, that he desires to have that quality time with us. Now, many times we don't meet him in that because we're busy. We're busy doing so much in life, chasing after the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, getting to the corporate ladder, the top of the corporate ladder as quick as we can, any way we can. What about quality time in your marriage relationship? Well, preacher, we spend a whole lot of time together, but is it quality time? Moms and dads, do you spend time with your children? And is it quality time? We're going to look at what that is this morning, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you this morning say, God, speak to my heart. Teach me something. Husbands and wives in here this morning, you're struggling in relationship, you know, it could be some of this right here. You're speaking a language that doesn't even make sense. Well, preacher, I run the vacuum cleaner at the house, and I wash dishes, and I cook food, and I do all those things. And it seems like it doesn't make any difference to her. Well, if that's not her love language, it's not. Maybe it's words of affirmation that really minister to her. When you look into her eyes and say, honey, I want you to know something. You're beautiful. You encourage me. I need you. You strengthen me. Vice versa. Maybe it's those acts of service. Maybe it's quality time, just shutting out the whole world, looking into each other's eyes and communicating and listening and taking into consideration and being sensitive. Preacher, my kids are, how much quality time do you spend with them? Oh, we're together all the time, but how much quality time do you spend? How many of us as Christians in this room, we spend quality time with God because he's always open to spend it with us, but we're so busy. Father, you're the only one by the power of your Spirit can communicate these truths, and I'm so thankful that I can look to you and believe you to work in the heart of every single person in this room, mine included. There's such great needs that are represented here today. Many of us have pulled up short this week. We've come short in fulfilling the will of God and listening and walking in obedience. And we've gone out and done what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it with a wrong attitude. And God, may we approach you with an open heart to say, God, may you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, instruct me to be a better person. Teach me, oh God, to listen. Help me to make those adjustments in life, to do those things that are important to other people around me, and to come to understand that life's not always about me, but it's about others. Pray for parents in this room that struggle in their relationship with their kids. I pray this morning for husbands and wives. We recognize there's an all-out assault against husbands and wives and the family, but I pray today that you teach us. And for anyone in this room that's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that this would be the day. Is that song that Mandy sang, oh God, that we'd know what it means to be free, to be liberated by your power and your gospel, that we don't have to live under the guilt and condemnation of wrongdoing, and that we can know for sure in our hearts the fact that heaven's going to be our home someday. Thank you for that strong assurance. And we commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. First of all, there's got to be application. Now, how many of you had a good Valentine's this week? All right, a couple of you. All right, that's good. A few hands slowly going up. Man, I had to buy 4 cards, 4 bags of candy, which took all my lunch money this week. I'm like, this is getting really expensive. You got to do something. You got to apply yourself to these principles. You say, well, preacher, you know, I am more concerned about the deep theological things of Christianity. Well, that's all well and good, but how are you doing on this? Like one brother told me, he said, you know what, I used to say that all the time, that I'm all about the deep things of God. But he said, I've been saved for 50 years and I'm still struggling with the shallow stuff. Yeah. So many of us in this room are not making a good report card. We're not making good grades when it comes to the simple things of just being a communicator of love and being God's example to our families, to our mates, and people we work with. There has to be application. A central point of quality time is just being together. You're not going to make it as a husband and wife if you're apart from each other all the time. Now, I will say this, that you probably will not argue as much when you're not around each other as much. And sometimes you just have to get in the car and take a ride, amen? Or you might need to take a walk through the woods. I don't know what your need is. Sometimes you need to pull apart before you come apart. You know what I'm saying? But if we're going to have good quality time together, you got to be together. And sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes you have to schedule that time into your daily routine. And there again, it's more than just being in the same room together. But you have to be together. Secondly, you got to be focused. Quality time does not mean that we have to spend our together moments gazing into each other's eyes. I know that how that would work in my home. If it was probably 6:30 or 7 o'clock, the only thing my wife would be looking at is my eyelids for about 10, 15 minutes. I don't know what it is. I sit down in that chair and all of a sudden, I'm gone. Fall asleep. Any of you ever struggle with that? All right, nobody else in this room. Thank you. I see that. All right, a few of you, it encourages me. But you got to be focused. You got to purposely do this kind of stuff. Moms and dads, do you take time, quality time, to visit with your children? I know a man that's been a great, successful father that had 7 children. He spent an hour every week with each one of those children. Wow. Moms and dads, how much time do you spend with your kids? How much time do you spend looking in their eyes and being consumed with their life? Now, I'm not talking about the, well, we'll get into that in a minute. There's application. Secondly, there's attentiveness. By communication, I mean sympathetic dialogue where two individuals are sharing their experiences, thoughts, feelings, and desires in a friendly, uninterrupted way. And one of the first points and most important thing is good eye contact. Just looking into somebody's eyes. I encourage couples, hey, first 15 minutes when mom and dad come in the home, run the kids off to the yard, shut the doors, lock them, tape them up, put them in the closet. Whatever you got to do, just have some good quality time. And sit down and look in each other's eyes. Get concerned about what the day's been all about. Man, do you ask your wife when you come in, honey, what was your day like? Not on your life, preacher. If I want to have supper, I ain't asking her that question. Now, women have a need to talk. And that's just the way God made you. I've seen my wife talk herself through problems. Share all the difficulty of the problem, come out on the other end with a solution. And I didn't have to say a word. Just communicating in such a way where there's good eye contact and look. Now, us men, and there are women that do this too, we have a keen ability of being able to do things at once. Right, men? Two things at once. I'm sorry. We have that ability, don't we? And especially if you've got the newspaper in front of you and you're reading the newspaper and your wife is talking, gentlemen, can I ask you something? Do you hear what she says? I'm not asking if you heard her. I'm asking, did you hear her? We have to be very, very careful. If you're like me, the best thing for me to do if my wife's doing something when she walks in the room, the best thing for me to do is set it aside. I've heard a man, and I don't know this man personally, but I've heard of a man that whenever his wife walks in the room, he cuts the TV off. You know why? Because he doesn't want to be distracted. And he wants her to know that she has first place in his heart. Now, if she wants to come in and turn the TV back on, then so be it. I wish you could see what I see right now, and some of you men looking at me like, you're nuts, preacher. Not on your life. I know what she's going to do. She's going to take that remote and turn it on Hallmark. Now, I've been watching live PD, and she puts it on Hallmark. Now, I don't want to watch some ooey-gooey movie where they kiss at the end. I'm not into that. There's good eye contact. No, this is a good one. Listen for their feelings. What? Listen for their feelings. Gentlemen, can I tell you something? When your wife says no, that means yes. When she says yes, that means no. Okay? You know, we need to learn each other. What emotions are really coming out? What are we really saying to each other? What are we communicating from our heart? And I tell you, it's hard to do that. Some of you are sitting here and your brain is convulsing over the fact that you're like, I don't know if I can do that. And I think that takes a discipline and it takes a training for us to listen to what's really going on in a person's heart and life. That means listening carefully and learning to read between the lines. I really want to be that kind of pastor that when people talk to me, that I don't get so caught up in so much of what they're saying, but what I'm really sensing that's going on, because sometimes what comes out of here is not always the truth. Sometimes people will try to convince you that everything's okay with this, but it isn't okay with this. And that's where the deep need is right here, not what's coming out of here. And sometimes we've got to learn to read between the lines and listen to their feelings. Sometimes you have to ask some probing questions. When I sit down, I don't consider myself to be a counselor, but I do consider myself to be a listener. I do consider myself to, you know, be sensitive to people and try to listen to where they are and what they're going through. And I think that's extremely important as we communicate love with each other, that we sit down and where there's good eye contact, but we listen to what they're actually trying to say. Because sometimes people are scared to communicate truth to each other. Husbands and wives, you don't even communicate. You just kind of run on this plane where you're not really talking to each other. And you don't really know what's going on. There's not intimacy in your communication, in your feelings, and we wonder why we come up so empty all the time. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you as a husband and wife sat down and had a very, very intimate conversation and felt like you could put all the cards on the table and be totally honest with each other? Where you felt like, hey, when she spoke, I listened. When he talked, I listened to what he was saying. I didn't get defensive, but I listened to what was being communicated. I dare say there are women in this room that crave that. You see, preacher, my husband doesn't have a time of day for me. He don't look me in my eyes. He doesn't take time to sit down in front of me and get concerned about what's going on in my world. And to be honest with you, I feel like he doesn't care. Acts of service? Are you kidding me? Only acts of service that go around our house is me doing for her. She didn't do squat to minister to me. What about words of affirmation? My husband telling me that I'm pretty and I look good in that dress. My wife telling me that I'm a good-looking man. Or your mother-in-law, 95 years of age, telling you that you look good. My mother-in-law told me that a couple weeks ago. I mean, you sense, even in this message this morning, there's a deficiency, and we struggle with that. Because as I look in your faces, some of you are hurting. Some of you, you've been committed. Praise God. Thank you for your commitment. But some of you have gaping wounds this morning that maybe you've never sat down and shared with anybody. And maybe you never will. But your heart's torn. You know what the sad commentary is? Many times we won't even share those things with Jesus, and he already knows them. And he said, I've come to mend your broken hearts and bind up your wounds. You don't have to cry yourself to sleep. You don't have to walk around in fear and frustration and aggravation. Learn to listen to each other and don't get defensive. Learn to keep your mouth shut and your ears open. Amen. Thirdly, observe body language. I mean, what does it tell you when you're talking to somebody and they're sitting there with their fist clenched? And that jaw is rigid and hard. What does it say when tears begin to stream down somebody's cheek? Now, I've learned sometimes that's a cover-up. Sometimes that's a mask. Because sometimes people are very good manipulators and they want to pull you in on that emotional level. And buddy, when you start shedding a tear, then everybody's like, oh, I feel so sorry for you. But sometimes those tears are a true reflection of deep hurt in the heart. What about eye movement? You ever dealt with somebody that has shifty eyes? They won't look at you in the eye. There's something wrong with somebody who won't look at you in the eye. They're constantly shifting back and forth. I'm not lying. Oh, really? How about trembling hands? Now, it's really interesting when people come to see me in the office. That's like having to go to the principal's office. I remember those times I had to make some frequent visits to the principal's office. I needed to talk to him over some business matters is really what it was. Yeah, it was business. But sometimes trembling hands, a lot of different things can be communicated. What about excessive talking? How many of you remember it was like when you first started dating? Do you talk your ears off or not say anything? And which one was the worst? I've seen and come to understand that when people get nervous, they talk. Men and women. They're uneasy with things being quiet. I wonder what Jesus was like when he would sit down with the disciples. I wonder if those guys got nervous in his presence. I wonder if somebody like Peter would just rattle off and rattle off and rattle off and rattle off. I wonder if their tears sometimes were genuine or they were just manipulative. I wonder if Judas would sit there with his fist clenched. And I wonder if Jesus really took the time to look in their eyes as he communicated with them. I wonder if he would be like this, where he would sit there and say, okay, I'm listening. Yeah, that's a good point. Save that, if you will. What did you say, John? Yeah, okay, we'll work on that. How many of you are distracted by that right there? You see, some of you have an extremely hard time laying that thing aside. You ever gone into a restaurant and sit down and watch families? And they all have their little devices out. Nobody's communicating. Nobody's looking at each other. You know, I used to get a little agitated when you go to the bank or the grocery store and they would say, please put your cell phones away. No cell phone service while we're taking care of your needs. You seen those signs? And I'm like, are you kidding me? You don't pay anything. I pay the bill on this. I'll use it and do with it whatever I want to do with it. But I've come to understand a little more. Sometimes I get that done to me. And I know, praise God, you're sitting there reading the Bible. Amen. Yeah. I was always taught when somebody's talking to you, you look at them. I had a lady in my office the other day, and she was praying. There's somebody outside wanting to get in. Boom, 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 boom. She's praying. Boom, 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 boom. Three times. Boom, 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 boom. I said, don't worry about it. Keep praying. And I try when people are talking to me. If you walk up to me and I'm standing there talking to you and I see other people around that wanting my undivided attention, they want to carry on a conversation with you, more than likely, and I'm not trying to be rude to you, but more than likely, I'm not going to take my eyes off the person I'm talking to talk to them. I'll get to them when they get finished with you. You know what? I think that's just a common courtesy. And I've been talking to somebody and I wouldn't recognize the person that's standing over here, and I see them stand there and all of a sudden it's like... I said, well, there they go in a huff. Let me ask you a question. Who has first place on these things? Gentlemen, you're working on one of the hottest deals you ever dealt with in your life. And your wife calls. What do? There's one person and about five or six other people that you will be interrupted if my phone rings, and that's my wife and my kids and my grandkids. These things are a killer. They're such a distraction. You know the best thing you can do is leave it at home when you go out to eat. Gentlemen, set a date, take her out, leave your phone at home, cut that thing off. And take the time to look into her eyes or into his eyes and listen to the heart of each person and observe the body language. Refuse to be interrupted. Most people only listen. Listen, this statistic says that most people only listen for 17 seconds before they interrupt somebody. Is it hard for you to sit there and listen to the other person talk and you know that what they're saying is wrong and you want to straighten them out and help them out, and so it only lasts about 17 seconds and then you're like, I gotta tell you this. Just let people talk through what they're talking through and learn to talk. Amen. I mean, when you go to restaurants and sit down, observe people. Husbands and wives come in, they don't talk to each other. Husband might grunt every once in a while in between bites. She might sit over there and stare around the room. But there's not real communication. My friend Phil Downer, I said, what in the world do you communicate about with your children? Seven of them, and you take them each one out every once a week. And with your wife, what in the world do you talk about? He said, I just focus on their character qualities, and I focus on what they mean to me. And he said, I just focus on who they are and what they are, and I just talk to them about them. And he said, we never run out of things to say. Wow, he's pretty cool. There's a tentativeness. Last of all, there's got to be action. Do things together on purpose. The purpose is to experience something together so when you walk away, you feel like you have communicated to your mate or your children that you truly care about them. That's love. And for some people, that's the loudest voice that they will hear. Oh, they're thankful for the acts of service. They're thankful for the gift giving. They're thankful for the physical touch. They're thankful for the words of affirmation. But those things are not going to speak as loud as quality time if that's their love language. One of the byproducts of doing things together is not that they provide a memory, that they provide a memory bank from which you can draw from later. And listen to this statement. Many of us are trained to analyze problems and create solutions. We forget that marriage is a relationship, not a project. You see, some of you in this room, you're very project-oriented. That's good. But the problem is you run clear over 100 people getting your project taken care of. And you will offend a lot of people, and you'll outrun a whole lot of people. And you'll do tremendous damage to the people that are closest around you. You get your project done, but you'll have a whole lot of fallout. You see, that was the beautiful thing about Jesus. When he sat down with people and he sat down with those disciples, even one of them being one that was going to betray him, he spoke into their lives in such a personal way that they listened. He listened. The relationship that was built with him, that these guys were willing to quit their professions and just follow him. Maybe their love language wasn't quality time, but I dare say for some of them it was. And I truly believe that these are some things that will really work in our world if we'll work them. Men, let me ask you point blank, what's your wife's love language? Preacher, I don't have a clue. I don't even know what her favorite color is. I don't even know what kind of candy she likes. I don't even know if she likes candy. Ladies, what's your husband's love language? I don't know. I'm not real sure he's got one. Maybe it's hunting. Or maybe it's fishing. Maybe it's cars. Maybe it's his job. Sorry. There's only five, and that's not some of them. You got to find out exactly what it is that communicates love to him or her with your children, parents. You're going to have to work at it. But find out what really makes their motor run. Moms and dads, what are your kids' love language? I got teenage boys. They don't have love languages. Oh, yes, they do. What about teenage daughters? You know, it's such a crucial time in their lives that they desperately need their daddy loving on them and speaking a language that communicates to their heart. And I tell you this, men, if you love on your daughter and you find out what her love language is, she's not going to be out here trying to find some other bozo to meet that need in her life. She's going to be secure with the fact that you are the one as a father that are ministering to her on the level of her heart. And she'll send a lot of boys packing down the road. Because unless they learn to love her the way daddy loves her, sorry, bud, shop's closed. Ain't getting in. There's a paper back here in the back. Great little article. Several of them back there to help parents. And it's called Safe Home, Digital Home Invasion. Here's a statement right here that says, time with people is more important than time on a screen. Well, that doesn't sound real spiritual. Well, I've sat with too many people over the years that when they don't do what needs to be done to protect their home and do what needs to be done to protect their children, they want to call the preacher when everything falls apart and say, what in the world can we do? This is some good maintenance. These are some good things for you to implement in your home and lines of communication so you might be able to talk to each other and communicate on lines of loving each other. This is just for your information, no cost, that's free. But you got to find out, friends. You got to find out what those love languages are. And then just start doing it. If your wife is turned on by the fact that you wash dishes, wash them to the glory of God. Amen. She loves you going out there and cleaning up her car. She loves you putting gas in it, amen? I just want him to sit down and look in my eyes and shut everything else off. Where I know I got center stage his heart, they ain't nobody like me. I just wished he'd hug me, preacher. I wish she'd come over and hug me every once in a while. Well, I wish that my father would look at me and said, you know what, honey? You're the prettiest little girl I've ever seen. And you're so special. What communicates love to you? I don't know. But you got to find out. Preacher, I know what my love language is, but he doesn't know. Then you pray for him. Preacher, I know what my love language is, but she acts like she doesn't care. Pray for her. Don't try to manipulate each other, but pray that God would reveal that and minister to you. And you know what I've learned? If you don't get it, just look to God to meet it. Because he said, I'll meet your needs according to my riches and glory. And that's not just with money, friends. God will minister to you on many different levels. Remember, Jesus sat down with the disciples and he spent quality time with them. You know why? Because he cared for them. He wanted to help them and instruct them. He was loving on them and ministering to them. For somebody in this room that's never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. And he wants to come into your life and do something for you that only he can do. This week, I had a young man. We were talking about some things, and we're standing beside his old beat-up country Ford truck. And he's just a... Well, he wasn't a redneck. Close. They had a lot of problems. I said, I want to tell you something. I said, there's somebody in this world that loves you dearly and wants to come into your life and do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. He said, who is it? I said, it's a man named Jesus that cared for you 2,000 years ago when he hung on a cross. And I said, he will do everything within his power to change your life if you'll open up your heart to him. And I said, what would keep you from asking Jesus to come into your heart right now? He said, nothing. I desperately need a change. And right beside that old beat up, rusty Ford truck, he bowed his head and said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life. And you know what, friends? God changed that man that day. I will believe that with all of my heart. He got through praying, the tears running down his cheeks. He said, preacher, something happened. I said, I know. I know. Somebody in this room today needs Christ. You're walking on a tightrope. Two men in this community going through the daily routine. One crosses a double line. And you know what? Within seconds, both of them are thrust into eternity. You don't know, friends, from the youngest to the oldest. And I guarantee you there are people in here today, you're not ready to meet God. But you know what? He avails himself to you every single day, day in and day out, and says, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how has God spoken to your heart today? Well, there are people that are praying in this auditorium right now. God, change my heart. God, do something for me. God, help me to be more sensitive. God, help me, help me, help me, help me. He wants to meet you in that. And he is our greatest source. He is our sustenance in life. He should be our all in all. Because Jesus himself says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Are there people here today by an uplifted hand and say, preacher, please pray for me. I need God to work in my life. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Others that would say, preacher, please pray for me. Thank you. Are there people here today that would say, preacher, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity? You know, it bothers me when you say those things, and I know that I'm not ready to meet the Lord. But would you pray for me? Anyone like that today? Just by an uplifted hand, that's your request, and asking me to pray for you because you don't know where you're going when you die. Father, in the quietness of this moment, thank you that you're ever present. The Bible says that you occupy the heavens and the earth. Your eyes go to and fro on the face of the earth, beholding the good and the evil. You know us. God, we can pull the wool over each other's eyes, but we can't do it with you. And I pray today that God, you lay your finger on those areas of our life that we need to fall under your tutorship and might learn of your heart, learn of your handiwork, that as we go through this demon-infested dark world, that we can be a light to people around us that need to see it, that their lives need to be changed. And so, God, help us today. Help us to yield to the leadership of your Spirit in this moment as you've spoken to us over several and many different issues. And we love you and praise you today. In Jesus' name we pray.